Shavua Tov, Gedvach. This is Rabbi Eitan Tokayer from Brooklyn, New York. There's a story told about Yosef Salant. Yosef Salant was one of the great Balei Musar, a great sage. And we know this not only because of himself, but of his star disciple, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. The story is told about Rabbi Yosef Salant, that he was a very, very humble and simple man, the way he comported himself. And he would walk through the streets wearing very simple clothing, projecting an image of just a Pashat Yid, a simple Jew. And he was walking through the marketplace one day, and there was a woman who mistook him for the water carrier. This is the days before plumbing, and people would hire a water carrier to bring water to their homes. And as it turned out, she asked him for to hire him to carry the water to the house, which he complied with. She got home and she took out some money to pay him. He said, "Don't worry, you'll pay me next time." A few days later, out in the marketplace, she's looking for him, for the water carrier, and it becomes clear after investigating with other people that the person who she was looking for was none other than the great Rav, Rabbi Yosef Salant. She approached him and she apologized profusely. She was mortified by her behavior, to which he responded that she had nothing to be concerned about at all. Because of his position in the community, nobody would think to ask him this kind of favor. And now he was given the opportunity to do a chesed that he wasn't able to do otherwise. And this story, of course, reflects on the one hand the extraordinary humility and the anivus of Rabbi Yosef Salant, but it's also a perfect story that shows a little bit about the notion of mistaken impressions. You know, every child is born perfect. And when a child is born, then we grow and we ultimately make all types of choices, some good, some bad. And through the choices that we make, we're formed in the blemishes that we bring upon ourselves. Through the scars of life and living, we ultimately become the person who were formed into being. And when it comes to spiritual blemishes, a person does a sin, so there are consequences, and Hashem judges us for that. If we do tshuva, great. If not, there's the consequences. A person does enough averas, enough chatayim, conducts himself in a certain way in life, he's called a rasha. There is judgment and value judgments that the Ribbono Shel Olam places upon people who do averus. However, when it comes to physical blemishes, to physical maladies, to physical imperfections, the Torah is makes quite a bit of allowances and is very sensitive. So, for example, a person is blind, so summa pater mina mitzvos, a blind person is exempt from certain mitzvos. If a person doesn't have an arm, he doesn't have to wear tefillin. If a person's mental faculties are incapacitated, then they also have quite a few exemptions. The point of the matter is that when it comes to physical deformities, physical maladies, physical incapacities, physical handicaps and blemishes, there is the Torah is quite sensitive. And therefore, the pasuk in this morning's Sedra, it talks about the psul of a Kohen for having various mumim, physical blemishes, is really astonishing, right? The pasuk says that if a Kohen has a broken leg or a broken arm or is lame or blind or is psoriasis or any type of or a whole list of physical blemishes, the Kohen is psul, is disqualified from serving in the Beis HaMikdash, is doing the avoda. And the question becomes, how do we understand this in light of the Torah's extraordinary sensitivity to people with physical blemishes, physical disabilities, handicaps, and so on? In fact, the Yalkut Shimoni says, Amar Rabbi Alexandri, Hedyot imishtamish b'kli shavur, if a regular person, a human being, uses a broken vessel, a broken kli, gnai hulo, it's considered beneath his dignity. If I live in a house with broken windows and the floors that are broken and leaks in the roof, it's not just that it's not a beautiful house to live in. A person feels a little bit as though their dignity has been undermined. Gnai hulo, that's the way of the world. It's true. However, aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says the Yalkut, kol klei tashmisho nishbarim heim. All of the kelim of the Ribbono Shel Olam are broken, i.e., human beings. We are all broken. And the fact of the matter is that the more broken, kol klei tashmisho nishbarim heim karav l'Hashem. The more broken a person is, the closer Hashem is to such an individual. So the Medrash says that the more broken a person is, the closer they are to Hashem. So why would it be that when it comes to a Kohen who has some type of physical deformity, blemish, or handicap, such an individual has a mum, is disqualified? Not only that, the Ribbono Shel Olam himself, who did he pick to lead Klal Yisrael? He picked Moshe Rabbeinu, who's kvad peh v'kvad lashon, who had an oral deformity, a stuttering problem, not just because he couldn't speak, but because there was a physical problem in his mouth. We all know the Medrash, right, that he ate the coals and it burned his mouth, and now he had a difficulty with speaking. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose somebody who themselves had a mum. The Medrash tells us regarding the Navi Amos. Amos was amus. He himself also had a physical mum, also around the mouth. So how do we understand, therefore, the pasuk in this morning's sedra, the psukim in this morning's sedra, that disqualify a kohen for having a mum? And I want to share with you three basic approaches, and each one of them I think is an important message. The first is a sort of a compilation based on Rashi. It's not all Rashi, but it's Rashi plus others. And I would say it as follows, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu understands the frailty of human beings and the way that we look at the physical aesthetics. And if something is broken, we as human beings see it as something which is less, something which is problematic. And therefore, we shouldn't treat the Ribbono Shel Olam any differently than we would treat our neighbor. You're invited somewhere for a Shabbos lunch, and before Shabbos, you drop off a bottle of wine that's half drunk. Nobody would do that. A person, you drop off a cake with a bite out of the cake. Nobody would do that to their own neighbor, let alone to an individual of great prominence. I would go to the President of the United States and bring him a ceremonial gift of a menorah that was cracked and broken. We wouldn't do it. And just like we wouldn't do that to our neighbor or to a person of import, most certainly we shouldn't do it to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Does HaKadosh Baruch Hu care that the Kohen is posel, has a mum, has a blemish? No. But the Ribbono Shel Olam understands the human condition, how we would look at the Kohen, because we would, or how we look at something which is physically imperfect. And since we as human beings value the physical perfection, and that's just a function of the human condition, we wouldn't do it to our neighbor, we wouldn't do it to a person of great import, we certainly shouldn't do it to Hashem. And therefore, as the Kohen is the representative of Klal Yisrael, not Hashem, he's our representative. He's a ke'ilu himself a karban. He's sacrificing his life and to Klal Yisrael. He is our representative, and just as an actual animal karban has to be perfect and whole, no less so for the Kohen. But the question that remains here is, things are different now, the 21st century. We make all types of allowances for people with physical disabilities. People work for the President of the United States. Every significant event, government event in America, maybe in Israel as well, I don't know, other places, they always have an interpreter for a sign interpreter for people that are deaf. So, we live in a different time. So maybe you could say that the Torah's morality here, how the Torah looks at human beings, is Neanderthal, it's old, it's outdated. How can you say? Maybe society has grown beyond that, And that the Torah's statement that a kohen is possible because of physical deformity reflects an outdated mode of thinking. And I would say to that it's entirely wrong. I heard, I believe, in the name of Moshe Feinstein, that if we want to understand the psul of the kohen and how it resolve the problem of it seemed to be entirely insensitive and incongruous with the Torah's normal ethos. Look at what the Kohen's role is. 50 weeks in a year, right? 2 weeks in a year the Kohen serves in the Beis HaMikdash. The rest of the year, what does the Kohen do? The rest of the year the Kohen is serving as the Mashpia, as the influencer, bringing Ruchnius, representing Hashem, teaching Torah, raising up the spiritual level of Klal Yisrael. The Kohanim, Shevet Levi, is nothing less than the spiritual leadership of Klal Yisrael. So 48 weeks a year, assuming it's a 50-week year, the rest of the year, the Kohen serves as a role model representative for Torah and the Ribbono Shel Olam, teaching and influencing and raising us up. And no Kohen is disqualified for any physical blemish. 48 weeks a year, no disqualification. And so what we see from this, I believe, is that the Kohen, who is disqualified because of a physical blemish in the Beis HaMikdash, is not disqualified for being the leaders of Klal Yisrael. And that challenges us to look at the individual behind the mum, to see the individual, the Kohen, and to recognize that even though he has a mum, he can reach extraordinary heights, that we should not define him by the mum, but rather see him for who he is. And it's bedafka specifically because he is disqualified in the Beis HaMikdash that we could potentially say, oh, such a person is lesser than. But that's not the case. Despite his handicap, despite his blemish, despite his ailment, he can be and is, not can, and is called to be the spiritual representatives of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on earth. And that forces us to see him differently. And there you have it. From HaKadosh Baruch Hu's perspective, he couldn't care about less. Couldn't care less about the kli, about the physical body that it's maimed or has some type of a physical handicap. Because in the role of being the mashpia on Klal Yisrael, they're not our representative; they're Hashem's representative. So when it comes to the Kohen and the Beis HaMikdash, Hashem realizes the frailty of the human condition, and as our representative, cannot be an imperfect vehicle. But as Hashem's representative, teaching and inspiring and leading, that the physical body is of no disqualification whatsoever. I want to conclude with a thought from the Znaim Latorah of Zalman Sirotkin, who says, look at how the animal is described, the animal that is disqualified from being a carbon. The animal is described, for example, if an animal has loss of sight, right, can't see, his eyes have been plucked out, if it can't see, it is called an averis, blind. It's a blind animal. But the human being, the Kohen, who is also similarly handicapped, he's not called an iver or some version of that. Rather, he's called ish, a person who can't see. Ish iver. He's a person who can't see. Why is the animal called an averis, but the person is called an ish iver, a person who can't see? Because an animal, all he has is his physical sight. And when the physical sight is gone, that's it. He is defined by this incapacity. However, when a human being, when the Kohen loses his sight, a human being has two kochas hara'iyah, two capabilities of sight, physical, but also we have our mind. We're able to, quote-unquote, see things, to understand, to see the world, to understand the world, to predict the future based on information that we have, to see a broader context of things. Seeing isn't just about physical sight. It's about understanding and understanding of the mind. And so therefore, if a person loses his physical sight, he's still a human being. He's still an ish. And in fact, he is not defined by that disability. He's not an either. He's an ish who happens to be an either. An animal, a veris. In fact, that's true with all of the blemishes. If you take a look at the description of the animals who have these problems, any of these disabilities, the animal is called, you know, a lame, broken, a this, a that. But when it comes to the Kohen, it's ish asher yebo mum, a person who has a mum. Ish asher yebo shever regel, a person who has a broken leg. Ish asher bo mum mizera Kohen. An ish who is a gibein, an ish who is a garav, an ish who is a yalefes. The human being is not defined by their disability or by their handicap. They're a human being, and our challenge, therefore, is to see the ish behind the mum, not to allow ourselves to define people by their blemishes. And that is true on a physical level, and it is most certainly true in terms of human behavior and interaction. We most often see the blemishes in one another, and we define the other person by their mum, rather than understanding that the person is whole and perfect and good and pure in their neshama. And they happen to have a mum. They happen to behave in X way, which I find objectionable. And it's true on the physical level as well. You see a person in a wheelchair, a person who has got a terrible deformity, a person who is suffering from an illness and their body is all contorted. And somehow, sometimes, we walk by such an individual and we forget that there is a whole, perfect, untouched, beautiful neshama trapped inside of that body. But we define the person by the mum. We define the person by the blemish, physically and too often spiritually as well. What the Kohen does by being the role model of a person who is disqualified for his mum, but rises to the level of being the mashpiyim and the leaders of Klal Yisrael, the spiritual leaders of Klal Yisrael, what they demonstrate in their very being and challenge us to is to see the person behind the mum and not allow ourselves to define the person by the mum. Just a word in 30 seconds. Two nights ago, there was a terrible tragedy in Eretz Yisrael that we all know on Lag BaOmer. And the question that one has to ask in light of tragedy is not, as Rav Soloveitchik often said, why did it happen, but rather, what? What is my response? And it seems to me that the response that we have to have in tragedy, to tragedy, is to double down on this message, of seeing kol ish asher bo mum, to find the humanity, to find the goodness, to see the individuals in our lives who are blemished up and down to the top to bottom, but to see the ish behind. And in doing so, we will create a more noble, a more ethical, a more vibrant and spiritually refined society, such that we don't have to wait for Mashiach to come. We will have created a society and a world in which Mashiach exists. Agudvach, Shavua Tov to us all.